Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, the new perek. As the Miri and other Rishonim help us understand how to learn and understand this perek, he says the Masechta, already Baruch Hashem beginning the third perek of Masechta Nedarim, works with a certain succession. First perek that we learned discussed situations where one makes a neder, and the nether is a valid nether. He articulated the nether properly. The second parak discusses situations where one perhaps wanted to make a nether, but his wording of the nether was halachically not valid and didn't create a nether. Our parak discusses a situation where he mentions and says the nether properly, so there is no problem with the wording. Now we begin the concern of intent. And even though if we were to listen to the words of the nether, of the nedarim that we're going to discuss, particularly in today's shiur, we seemingly have a very valid nether, it's still not considered valid because of other circumstances that we will explain. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Ava nedarim hitiru chachamim. There are four types, four categories of nedarim that Chazal said are not nedarim, and don't require even Hataras Nedarim. Nidri Zruzim, which is what we're going to discuss today, when a nether was made just to motivate someone else, we'll understand it more in a moment. Nidri Havoy, but something was said which is patently impossible. The Gemara later in the Perek will give examples. Nidri Shkogas, when somebody made a nether Vishayig, and Nidri Ointzim is when he made it under duress. Says the Mishnah, Nidri Zruzim Ketzad. What is the example of Nidri Zruzim? I want to sell you a product. Voimer, and as many times happens, there's a debate. There's a disagreement over the price. And I want to show how firm I am. I, the seller, want to show how firm I am. I make a nether, I'm not selling it for less than a seller being four dinar. I'm not going to sell it for less. And the buyer says, I'm not giving more than two dinrim. So we both made nedarim. Says the Mishnah, Shneim roitzim shlosha dinrim. Really, the nether is not a nether. Just both of us were trying to negotiate, and that's how we expressed ourselves, but we never meant to make a nether. And as the Rishonim explain, even though we know throughout halacha, dvarim shebalei veinim dvarim, the words that were said are a very, very valid nether. It's only that we assume that's what they meant. So how do we say that the nether is not a valid nether? So the Mefarshim explain, the Rishonim discuss, two approaches. We not necessarily disagree with each other. One approach offered by the Rishonim is, when something is so obvious that that's what's going on here, it's so obvious that I didn't really mean to make a nether, you didn't really mean to make a nether, it was just the way we were expressing ourselves, that is where we don't have to be concerned about Dvarim Shebaleif. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim, and the Ran says it a few times in our perek, is this is Derech Masav Amatan. This is the way business, I guess especially in their culture, was conducted, where people bargained, and therefore it's just a Derech Masav Amatan, and it's not a nether. I did see that the Nidri, Sefer Nidri's reason asks a question. He says, our Mishnah is assuming that it's not a nether. He says, why are we assuming it's not a nether? Why don't we ask the people who made the nedarim? Ask them, did you mean to make a nether, or did you just mean to negotiate? So he suggests that actually that would be the din, that we would have to ask the people. Just, he explains, so what's our Mishnah teaching us? Our Mishnah is teaching us that if I make a valid nether, and then I come and say I didn't mean it, can't say that. Here, if I make this type of a nether, and then I say that I meant the Nidri's reason, I can be trusted to say it, and it will be considered that it was never a valid nether.
It's like
Perushim L'Hakel is because the wording of the nether was faulty. Here, there's nothing faulty in the wording. He says another pshat, a little difficult to understand. He says, let's say I say I forgot what I meant. So since probably this is what I meant to negotiate, therefore we could be makel. The Mefarshim also discuss exactly what is the neder that's under discussion in our Mishnah. And the Mefarshim suggest a number of pshatim. Either I made a neder, that if I the seller make a neder, if I sell to you for less than this price, I won't have any hanor from the money you give me. Or you make a neder that if I pay more, I'm not going to have hanor from the product. Another pshat is that I say that if the one that's buying it says that I'm paying more than I'm supposed to, I won't have hanor from you ever. I make a neder that I will never have hanor from you. You should never have hanor from me. Another pshat is that we tie it to another item. And I say, if I'm going to sell this item to you for less than this price, I make a neder I won't eat apples. Or vice versa, the buyer makes that type of a neder. The Sefer Nidri's Ruzim also discusses, if our mission is trying to show, that, as we explained, that this is the way people in their world specifically did business, and when somebody said, I'm not going to sell it to you for less, makes a neder, he really didn't mean it, why does the Mishnah have to speak about both the buyer and the seller making the same neder? The point that the Mishnah is making could have been made just with telling us the buyer made this neder. Why does the Mishnah also have to say what the seller said? So the Mishnah, so the Sefer Nidri's Ruzim says, the Mishnah is trying to teach us a chiddush. The Mishnah is trying to teach us that not only in a case where I make the neder, I, the seller, make the neder first, and now you, the buyer, respond. We would be concerned that now that the buyer is responding to me, why is he responding to me? Because he thinks that my neder is serious. And his neder is therefore certainly a real neder. Says the Mishnah, you don't have to worry about the buyer, you don't have to worry about the seller. Whichever made the first neder, whichever made the second neder, neither neder is to be taken seriously. But now, the Ran quotes an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, and this actually is very consistent with the way we're explaining the Mishnah, that if the buyer says, the seller, let's say he made the first neder, following the example of the Mishnah, says, I meant the neder. I meant what I said. Then the neder is a neder. But then the Yerushalmi goes on to discuss an interesting case, which is a machlokes rishonim, what the case the Yerushalmi is discussing. Let's say I say these words. But there are two prospective buyers. That's the way the Ran explains the Yerushalmi. And I say, to one buyer, I meant it. Him, I meant that I'm not going to give it to him for less. I don't know him, and this is my price. The other person is a friend or is a customer that I have all the time. So with him, I'm not that firm. So I said it to two individuals. But one I said I meant, to one I said when I said I meant it, I'm being honest. And to the other one, I said I didn't mean it. What is the status of the neder? What is the shaila? Typically, we have a rule, neder shebatel miktsasoi, batel kulei. A part of the neder falls apart, the rest of the neder falls apart. But the mefarshim explain, and therefore, if it's not a neder to you, it's not a neder to the other customer. But the mefarshim explain, where do we apply the concept of neder shebatel miktsasoi, batel kulei? We apply it in a situation where the neder was perhaps not worded properly. In a situation where the chacham is being mat to the nether, so if the chacham is annulling the nether, he can't just annul part of the nether. You annul the entire nether. Here we're saying that the nether, it was never a nether. But maybe it wasn't a nether for you. It was a nether for the other customer. The Rosh has a different explanation how to explain the case that the Yerushalmi is referring to. The Rosh says that the case that the Yerushalmi is referring to is I made a neder. I, the seller, made a neder. And then the buyer, as the Mishnah says, also makes a neder. Now, I, the seller, say, I never really meant it. And the Mishnah is teaching us, I'm trusted. The buyer says, I meant it. So now the question, the way the Rosh explains the Yerushalmi is like this. Do we say that the buyer's neder has nothing to do with the seller's neder? And therefore, maybe the seller's neder wasn't sincere, but the buyer was sincere and he has to follow his nether. Or, perhaps, the buyer only said what he said in response to the seller. So if the seller's nether is not a nether, it automatically cancels the buyer's nether also, which is a shaila in the Yerushalmi. Then the Ran discusses another shaila. We're saying that this is called a nether's ruzim, and it's not considered a valid nether. As the Ran, to what degree is it not considered a nether? The Ran in his second pshat, which is the way most Rishonim learn, the nether isn't totally invalid. It's a meaningless nether. I just said it because that's the way we talk. Then the Ran wants to suggest that when we say that the nether is not a nether, that means that if I'll take less than four, or you'll pay less than two, it's not a problem. But I did make a nether, I'm not selling it for less than four. And you did make a nether, you're not going to pay more than two. So to pay exactly the amount that I asked for, or I should accept exactly the amount you wanted, that means I made a nether, I'm not selling it for less than four. Then, and you made a nether, you're not giving me more than two. We made a nether to each other. Those exact terms cannot be followed, because that would be a clear violation of our explicit words. Again, as I said, most Rishonim say that the nether falls away. Actually, Mefarshim say that this type of conversation is really not new to us. We already have this conversation taking place between Paroi and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, who's going to leave Mitzrayim? But Nareinu, B'zakneinu, we're taking our families, we're taking our children, we're taking the Mekneinu, we're taking everybody. And Paroi says, nah, just take the men. So we already have this kind of back and forth. However, before we get into the sugyas of the whole perek, the Ran says, even though our Mishnah is teaching us, again, today about Nidri Zruzim, and we're going to discuss other types of Nedarim as we get deeper into the perek in Mitzvah Hashem, even though we're saying that this nether is not a nether, we always have to remember, says the Ran, that the Torah says three very important words that we keep on using. Lo yachel dvaray. A person should not have his words desecrated. A word has to be a word. So yes, a Nidri Zruzim doesn't have the halachic status of a nether or the other Nedarim. But that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. It's the wrong thing to do. A person should mean what he says and says what he means and not just not speak seriously. And in fact, and we'll discuss this also in Mitzvah Shem later in the Perek, how serious of an issue this is that Yom Kippur by night, the most holy night of the year, what do we say? We say Kol Nidrei. Because we're going back and saying that even if the Nedarim maybe weren't Nedarim, our words weren't said and weren't articulated properly, and for that we need Yom Kippur by night to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu for Slichu Mechila. Says the Gemara, Ab Nedarim Hetiru Chachamim. We learned in the Mishnah that there are four types of Nedarim that are not valid in Nedarim. Amalei Reb Abba Bamama L'Reb Ami. Amit Lama Shmeid Reb Yehuda Nasiya. You told us in the name of Yehuda Nasiya, Man Tana Abba Nedarim. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says that these Abba Nedarim are not valid in Nedarim? Says the Gemara of Yehuda. He represents the opinion of Yehuda. Dar Mishim Reb Tarfin. La'olam ein echad mem nazar l'fish lo nitn naziris ala afla. This goes back to the Gemara we just learned on that few tests on the base. Rav Tarfin says the following. You and I are standing next to each other and we have a debate. There's someone coming from far. And I say, that's certainly Reuven. And I'm so sure that if it's not, I'll be a nazar. And you say, just the opposite. I'm certain it's not Reuven. And if it is Reuven, I'll be a nazar. So Rav Tarfin says neither of us is a nazar. And like Duran says, and the Dharam and the Zeris, as we learned so much in the previous parak, actually travel together. They have the same din. Why isn't there nazar? Because it lacks clarity. It lacks clarity. Because when we undertook this Naziris, either of us, we weren't sure if we're actually going to be a nazar. We're only going to find out when this individual arrives. A neder that lacks clarity, a neder that lacks firm commitment, is not a neder. And that's how the Gemara wants to suggest is the reason why this neder is not a neder. A machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. When the Gemara is saying now that our Mishnah represents the opinion of Reb Tarfin, does the Gemara mean to say that all the Nedarim, we learned four categories of Nedarim in our Mishnah that are not Nedarim because we followed the opinion of Reb Tarfin, or is the Gemara now focused on Nidrei Zruzim? So ask the Ran, another Rishonim, if the explanation of our Mishnah, and let's just speak about Nidrei Zruzim, the subject of today's Shir, is not a nether because it lacks clarity, so why did the Mishnah have to say that when I said I'm not going to sell for less than four, and you said you're not going to sell, buy it for less than two, we really meant three. Why did the Mishnah have to add those words that we really meant three? That's not the point. The point is that it lacks clarity. So the Ran says a gewaldige teretz. The Ran says as follows. He says, what will be the halacha? He says, our Gemara actually is different than the case of Reb Tarfon. Because in the case of Reb Tarfon, when I expressed, I'm a neder, if this is Reuven, if it's not Reuven, neither of us really could have 100% the Mekayim could have fulfilled what we meant, right? Because we really don't know until this individual arrives. In this case, where we were negotiating with each other, and I use these terms, it's not a neder, I'm not going to sell for less, I'm not going to pay more. We could actually fulfill the neder. In fact, we learned the Ran says, the Yerushalmi says, that if we really meant it, it's a valid neder. So therefore, we would perhaps think that in this case, it is a neder, even according to Reb Tarfon, teaches us the Mishnah. Neither of us really ever meant it. And since neither of us really ever meant it, that's why the neder is not a neder, according to Reb Tarfon's explanation. Again, I repeat, we discussed the Shaila the other day, just I saw another teretz. If the halacha is that for a neder to be valid, it has to have clarity, if it depends on circumstances beyond our control or other circumstances, then the neder lacks clarity, we go back to the neder of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, Im yelo kim emodi, v'shmerani b'derech hazeh. So Yaakov Avinu made a condition. Why was that considered a valid neder? So we said one teretz earlier in the week. Another teretz that I saw the Rishonim give, Sharem Achronim, is Yaakov Avinu made a neder be'es tzora. Then Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav. And we've already discussed previously that a neder that said be'es tzora is a whole different category of neder. And that's a neder that one has to fulfill, even if typically it would be a neder that it's could be not considered a neder. That's why, if you recall, we learned once that even though a neder, and we're going to discuss this a lot of Mitzvah Shem in this perek, could be annulled, a neder that was made based tzara, the Paiskim frown, many Paiskim say cannot be annulled. Again, because it's a higher, stricter standard of neder. Rav Amar. Rav says the explanation why Nidri is Ruzuma, not a neder, is for a whole different reason. It doesn't have to follow the opinion of Tarfon. Afilu Taim Rabbonin. Miktana Shneim Ratzu. If the Mishnah says Shneim Ratzu, means that later on, when we made the Nedarim, we meant what we said, and we changed our mind. Shneim Ratzu Ktani. It means that we never really meant what we said, as we explained in the Mishnah. I never really meant that I'm not going to take less than four. You never really meant that you're not going to pay more than two. You meant that just that we should get to some sort of a compromise. Ask the Gemara. Omle Ravina Leravashi. Omle Tfei Mesela. V'hala Amma Batz Meshekel. I said I'm not going to sell, but I didn't say to sell. I said more than a seller. And you said less than a shekel. What's the halacha? Nidre Hava or Zeruzin Hava? So there's two explanations in Rishonim how to understand this Gemara Shaila. One way to Rishonim explain it is that we're going into such great detail here. I'm not just saying I'm not going to sell for more than four or less than two. I went down to the final penny. So that shows that I'm meaning what I'm saying, and therefore it's not considered Nidri Zeruzin. And you, the buyer, also was so detailed and exact in expressing the amount. It's one way of explaining the Gemara. Another way of explaining the Gemara is that in our mission, the case, the disparity between the buyer and the seller is really not that great. He said four, he said two, so it's not that much of a difference. However, where the disparity, the difference is greater, maybe that's a proof that they're both serious about what they're saying, and it won't be considered a Nidre Zeruzin. Amalei, she says, Tanina. It's really the subject of a Braisa. The Braisa says, Hayu Masar B'chaver Shiachal Etzloi. You invited me to come eat by you. V'amalei, and I don't want to come for a meal, and we've had such situations previously. So I say, Konam Beischa, I make another shani nichnas. I'm not even going to walk into your house. Tipas soinen. I'm not going to take a drop of cold water. Shani time. I'm not even going to drink by you a drop of cold water. So the halacha is muta lekanas lebeisoy. I'm allowed to walk into your house. Ulishtos imenet soinen. I'm allowed to take a drop of water. Shlein skaven zeh l'shum achila v'shtiya. I really was responding to your invitation, and I was trying to say to you, I don't want to come. And how do I express myself? By saying I don't even want a drop of cold water. Why am I allowed to come into your house? I made a neder, I'm not even going to drink from your cup a drop of water. What must we say? That's the way people talk. And they even get down to details. Or, again, both pshatim. Either that we see the people, even when they speak, they do speak about details. I went down to the detail of a drop of water. Or there's a big disparity. You invited me to a whole meal, and I said I won't even take a drop of water. And we still see it's not a valid nether. Similarly, here too, even though the disparity is great, or we were so detailed in what we said, it's the way people speak, and it still falls under the category of Nidrei Zruzin. Amalek, so he said to him, me dummy, we can't compare the situation of the person responding to the invitation to the discussion we're having. Gabit Soyan, Siddiqim Oimrim at Voisim Harbe. You invited me to a meal, to your home. Who invites me? The only people that invite me to meals are tzaddikim. The minig of tzaddikim, the way tzaddikim act, is that Oimrim Ma'at Voisim Harbe. They say very little, but they do a lot. So I knew that if I don't say firmly to you, I'm not even going to take a cup of water, a drop of water, they'll say, okay, so come to my house for the drop of water. Once you got me into your house for the drop of water, before I know it, I'm going to be eating a huge meal. So I knew, because I'm dealing with a tzaddik, I have to speak that way. That's why I said the nether. That's why I said it this way, even though I don't mean to make a nether. Hocha, but in our case that we discussed, sfekuhu, maybe the buyer and the seller were very sincere in what they're saying, and it's the, they were just trying to respond to each other. Or demo, perhaps, since they were so detailed, or such a great disparity, they meant what they said. The nidra have it, and it's a real nether. Tabai, and the Gemara says it's a shaila in such a case, and most Rishonim say that since it's a shaila, and the Dorim are the Raisa, we have to go l'chumra. In fact, I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Shaila of Tshuva's Torah L'shma. He says as follows. There was a person who wasn't so careful in wearing tzitzis. And there was someone discussing with him and trying to get him to understand the importance of that mitzvah, until the person finally recognized and he said, I, from now on, will always wear tzitzis. In Hebrew, he said, tamid. Now, you can't always wear tzitzis. Even if you're going to wear tzitzis when you sleep, when you take a shower, you can't wear tzitzis. And when you have to change your clothing, you can't wear tzitzis. But he used the word always. So again, it comes back to our Gemara, that we know he didn't really mean always. But again, the Paiskim try to teach us how we have to be careful with our words, because our words have a lot more than we can recognize they mean. Here the Gemara says that the minig of tzaddikim is oimer ma'at voisim harbe. Why? Why do tzaddikim act that way? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is from the Ber Maim Chaim. The Ber Maim Chaim says that we know there's a rule in life, kolas cholas kashas. It's very hard to get to do the right thing. I heard twice from the Klaus Magareba, he says a person should do tshuva for 5 minutes. He says, what do you mean you have to do tshuva for 5 minutes? He says, you know how it is. A person wants to do good and he wants to start acting properly. He says, from now on, I'm never going to say Lashon Hara again. From now on, I'm never going to miss a shiur. You're guaranteed to fail. He says, accept upon yourself that you're going to act properly for 5 minutes. For the next 5 minutes, you're not going to say Lashon Hara. So what's so hard? 5 minutes. After you have 5 minutes, go to the next 5 minutes. The same thing here. If I say I'm going to do a lot, so then it becomes impossible and I won't do anything. I invite you. I'll give you a small meal. What's the big deal to give you a cup of water? Once I say I'll give you a cup of water, then it becomes easier. The Chassidish Sfarim on their derech have say it a little differently, but it's a very similar concept. They say that when somebody wants to do the right thing, the Yetzirah, the Satan, they all get into action. So if what I want to do is the bigger the mitzvah, the more significant it is, the harder they fight to prevent me. But if it's not such a big mitzvah, they're not going to bother. So I say, Emma Ma'at, So they're not going to bother me. And once I start doing the mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, I do the mitzvah 100% properly. And actually, I saw the Mefarshim explain, we see it in the Torah. The Malachim come to visit Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu says, I'm going to invite you for a meal. It doesn't say I'm going to make a big meal, I'll just invite you for a little meal. So they say, so Malachim respond, Kein noichal kasher dibarto. We'll eat like you said. What are they saying? Yeah, do what you said. Is that the way somebody responds? I invite you for a meal, and you say, yeah, make sure to do what you said. How's that? How do Malachim respond that way? So Mefarshim explained beautiful pshat. They say as follows, they knew Avraham Avinu. And even though he had invited them for a small meal, they knew even though he's talking about a small meal, he's going to give a big meal. So say, Ken Kesha Dibarta. Don't just say that you're going to give us a small meal. We're asking you, that's all you should do. Don't make bigger than you said you would. The Sefer Ruach Chaim says a beautiful pshat in Amor Ma'at Vasei Harbe. He says, who is the person that's going to learn Torah? Who is the person that's going to do mitzvahs? It's a person who thinks that he hasn't really learned enough. A person who doesn't think he's done enough. So he feels he still has a lot to do. A person who thinks about himself, I already learned so much. I already did so many mitzvahs. He already was yaitza. If you will be a person who is an amar ma'at, that you feel you really never did anything, everything you did is very little, that is the best way to guarantee that it'll give you the feeling, so I have to start learning. How much did I already learn? Amar ma'at. If you say you only learned a little, that will give you the inspiration to say, harba, I got to start learning and learn more. If you think you already learned a lot, then you're not going to, then you're going to feel satisfied and you're not going to learn more. Says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Meravasi. Ab and the Dharm Halalu. These four in the Dharm that we just discussed in our Mishnah, Tzrechim Shelel Chacham. You need to go to Chacham to have them annulled. Which is very, so if we look at this line, it's very difficult to understand. We just finished explaining, as we learned the Mishnah in the Gemara, that these Nadarim are not valid Nadarim. So why do we have to go for Shelel Chacham? How do we understand what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi said? So the Ran, and other Rishonim say, what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi is addressing an Amoritz. Enochanami, these Nadarim are really not valid Nadarim. However, as we have learned so many times, Chazal were machmer on Amoratzim. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi says that even in this case, where we have these four categories of Nadarim, the Chazal told the Amoratzim, we're not just going to allow you to say the nether wasn't the nether, you need to go to Chochem to have it annulled. Tamrita Kamei de Shmuel, when this psak was set over to Shmuel, Omar, he said, Tana Abba Nor, Abba Nadarim Matiru Chachamim. Our Mishnah explicitly said that these four Nadarim of null and void, that Amrit Tzrichen Shelu L'Chochem, certainly not. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Masna L'Hosh Maitzel L'Holishna. Rav Yosef said over this din this way. He said over Rav Yehuda Amarasi's din in the following way. Or Rav Yehuda Amarasi, Ein Chachom Rishoy L'Hatir, when somebody comes with a nether, not the nether of our Mishnah, according to this version, the Nadarim of our Mishnah are null and void. And no one would suggest differently, even for our Ma'aretz. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where somebody is coming to a Chacham to have his nether annulled. So now how should the Chacham, what technique should the Chacham use to have it annulled? Elo ke'en arba hadarim hanolu. He has to try to turn it into one of these four Nadarim. For as we're going to now begin to learn, when someone comes to a Chacham to have a nether annulled, the Chacham has one of two options. He could ask me, did I have charota? Charota means that I regret making the nether. Or a Pesach. A Pesach means that I recognize certain circumstances would have come up that if I would have known, I wouldn't have made the nether. The classical example is as follows. I make a nether, I'm not going to walk into a certain catering call. For whatever reason. And then, my best friend ends up making a wedding in that catering hall. So the Rav asks me, if you would have known that your best friend is going to make a wedding in that hall, would you have made the nether? Of course not. That's a Pesach. So Gemara is saying that at this point, the Gemara is suggesting, we're going to see it's a machloikis, ein paiskin b'charota. A charota is not a good reason. Regretting is not a good enough reason for a chacham to annul a nedim. Although I did see from the Tosfos Rid that says the Gemara here says ain't poischem b'charata. If I come to a rav and I want the neder annulled, and the rav should not ask me, do you have charata? Do you regret it? And if I say yes, that will be the basis for annulment. But if I on my own tell the rav I regret making the neder, even the shittas, even the opinions that hold that charat is not a way a neder could be annulled, will agree that if I was the one that started the conversation, I the one that's petitioning to have the neder annulled, it would be a way to have a neder annulled. Says the Gemara, Ha'id asl kamed rav, ha'hud asl kamed rav huna. There was something came to rav huna. Amalei lipcha aleha. Amalei loy v'sharye. So all the Rishonim agree that this is a situation of charata. And this opinion, the opinion of Rav Huna, is that charata can be used to null a neder. But the Ran gives two pshatim and how to understand the Gemara. One pshat that the Ran gives is lipcha lecha. The Rav asked the person, when you made the neder, were you b'yishev adas, were you calm, cool, and collected? Or were you angry? And if I say, yes, I was angry and I regret that I was angry, that's the way that the neder could be annulled. Another pshat that the Ran learns, which is very relevant lahalocha, is the Rav asks me, do you regret making the neder? I say, yes, I regret making the neder. But the question is, what do you regret? You made the neder a month ago. For a month you've been following the neder. So when you say you regret, do you regret from when the neder was initiated? Well, today you're regretting it. But that you had the neder for the last month, that you don't regret. For charata to be effective, it has to be that I have charata mi'ikara from the beginning of the neder, not that I have charata after the neder was already in force. Ha'ud asl kamei the rabbi barafuna. Omalei, and he asked him, ilo haya sar b'nei adam she'efulcha b'yitzhashah. As you were saying this neder, if there would have been 10 people there and telling you, don't make the neder, mina darta, would have you made the neder? Omalei v'itirei. And here we have a very big machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. The Rosh says that what he's learning is that charata is not valid. And that's why he came up with a Pesach. He said if there would have been 10 people there, and the Mefarshim explained what's the significance of 10 people, because when we have 10 people, we know there's a minyan, there's a shechina, it would have been a whole different environment. It's a Pesach. The Ran has a very interesting pshat. He says that this is not a Pesach, nor is it a standard charata. A standard charata is that I regret. Very simple. It has to be true. That I regret. A standard Pesach means that certain circumstances came up that I wasn't thinking of. The example that I gave before, my friends making the wedding. Here, the Chacham came up with a circumstance that never really happened. There weren't 10 people that said to me, don't make the neder. He just said a passable situation, a theoretical situation. Says the Ran that he says there's a new category here, a strong charata, and that this mandama holds that a regular charata will not annul a neder, but a strong charata will be a way to have a neder annulled. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer al Adam, we tell the person, Leiv ze alecha, again, do you have charata? Whatever pshat we learn in the Ran, Im Omer lav, if he says, I have charata, I wasn't thinking properly, matirnoisai. He obviously holds that charata is a basis for annulling a neder. Rav Shmuel Rav Yosi, I'm Mishum Aviv, I'm Rav Leila Adam. We tell the person, ilu haya sar b'nei Adam she'efusucha b'yisushah. He obviously holds that just a regular charata is not good enough. They ask him if you would have been in that circumstances. Mina darta, would have you made a neder? Im I'm alav, he says, given those circumstances, I would have never made a neder. The loch is, Matir and I say, we annul the neder. Ha'uda asla kamedra of Asi. Amloi, kada te'isa. Do you have regret that you made the neder? Amloi loi. Of course I have regret. That's how we have to understand. If I didn't have regret, I wouldn't have been here. Visharye. So the Ran asks an interesting question. Here we have Rav Asi being the mandama that says, we could rely on charata. Previously, we had Rav Asi being the mandama that we don't rely on charata. So what does Rav Asi hold? So he says that there are two different amaroim. One's name was Rav Asi, and the other one was Rebbe Asi. One holds that charata is not effective. The other one holds charata is effective. Before we complete today's shir, there's a very interesting mabit. The mabit says that the reason a charata or a pesach are effective in annulling a nether is because it turns the nether into a nether toss. If I made this nether and I didn't mean it because I have regret or because of circumstances that I wasn't thinking of, it shows that the whole nether was a mistake. And therefore it's not a nether. That's what the Mabit says. Ask the Marit, a Gevaldig Akasha on his father, the Mabit. He says, according to my father, I don't understand a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Lo Yachil Dvaroi, a person can't desecrate, we discussed it earlier in the Ashir, a person can't desecrate his nether. But the Gemara says, Rashi quotes it in the Chumash, Avla Cherim Moichamoy, I can't annul my nether, but I can go to Rav to annul my nether. Says, ask the Marit, if my father is correct, that every time there's a Pesach or Charata, it means that the nether was never a nether, so what I need to go to Rav for? There was no nether. What's the pasuk saying? Who ain't a meichel? Aval acherim meichel loy. Why do I have to go to a Rav? That's his question on his father's pshat. So the Mefarshim say a beautiful answer. They say, according to the Mabit, the halach is as follows. If I make a nether, and then I have charota, or I have a pesach, midoy raisa, the nether is invalid. No nether. The Torah, when it says, who ain't a meichel? Aval acherim meichel loy, meant to say like this. It meant to give tremendous power to the rabbinate. It meant to say that the Rav has the power to annul a nether, even if I don't have a Pesach or Charata. Who ain't a Meichel? I may not desecrate the nether. Aval Cherem Meichel Loi. I go to Rav. No Charata. No Pesach. The Torah gave the Rav the right. Meichel. He could annul the nether. Came Chazal later on and changed everything. And they said the following. A Rav should not use his deraisdig power of being meichel and neder without a pesach or charata. And number two, the person himself who made the neder should not just say, I have a pesach, I have a charata, and the neder is annulled. He shouldn't rely on his own judgment. He needs to go to the Rav, and if the Rav is meichel, if the Rav annuls the neder, then the neder will be mutter and it will be annulled.